Today is June 24th, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover the structural demand gap in U.S. Treasury markets that's driving stablecoin legislation forward, the systemic passive investment risk embedded in the SpaceX IPO, and what the Warsh Fed's credibility-first posture means for FinTech valuations and bank margins. Foreign holdings of U.S. Treasuries have declined to approximately 21% of outstanding supply, near an all-time low, down from a peak of 38% in July 2012, according to 42 Macro's Darius Dale. That 17 percentage point collapse in foreign demand isn't a curiosity. It's a structural hole in the sovereign debt absorption mechanism that Washington is now trying to fill through stablecoin legislation. The Genius Act, signed in May 2026, isn't primarily a payment story. It's a treasury demand story. Here's the logic. The act mandates one-to-one reserve requirements in U.S. Treasuries or Federal Reserve deposits for stablecoin issuers. If stablecoin payment volume captures even 5% of global cross-border flows, estimated at over $150 trillion annually, reserve requirements at that ratio would generate $7.5 trillion in programmatic treasury demand. That's not a projection from a stablecoin advocate. That's 42 Macro's arithmetic applied to the Genius Act's own structural mechanics. The broader fintech pattern here is that the most consequential regulatory frameworks are rarely designed for the reasons they're discussed publicly. The Genius Act is framed as a consumer protection measure, a payments modernization initiative. But the treasury demand mechanism embedded in it represents what 42 Macro's Dale characterizes as potentially $200 billion or more in annual interest income uplift for the banking sector, under a scenario where commercial banks restore their treasury market share from 15% back toward the historical 33% peak of 2003. That would require absorbing an additional $4.3 trillion in treasury securities. The 8 Tier 1 banks that have already announced stablecoin initiatives as of Q2 2026 are not doing so out of payments enthusiasm. They are establishing positions in a fee income architecture that, once consolidated around 3 to 5 dominant issuers, will be extraordinarily difficult to displace. The Visa and MasterCard analogy is structurally precise, not stylistically. Looking at the regulatory landscape alongside what's happening in public markets, the most structurally novel risk entering the financial system right now isn't macro in the traditional sense. It's the potential forced integration of SpaceX into universal passive ownership through S&P 500 index inclusion. Chris Irons of Quoth the Raven has done the most rigorous public analysis of this situation. SpaceX is trading at approximately $2 to $2.5 trillion in valuation, roughly 100 to 130 times price to sales, which is 2.5 times Cisco's dot-com peak, multiple of 40 times. The company carries an accumulated deficit exceeding $41 billion. And reaching management's publicly stated $1 trillion revenue target by 2030 would require approximately 275% annual revenue compound growth. That is not a rounding error in the projections. That is the baseline mathematical requirement. The passive investment mechanics here deserve careful attention. S&P 500 inclusion at a $3 trillion market capitalization would force an estimated $300 to $600 billion in passive fund rebalancing purchases. Those purchases are not discretionary. They are mechanically triggered by index inclusion rules, concentrated in an asset whose valuation rests almost entirely on narrative momentum and float mechanics. SpaceX has approximately a 5% public float rather than discounted cash flows. Building on that, Apollo Global's chief economist has documented that since April 2025, Russell 2000 companies with negative earnings per share are systematically outperforming companies with positive earnings per share. That is a price discovery breakdown. It severs the fundamental anchor that would ordinarily create a ceiling on this kind of valuation dynamic. AI-adjacent equities now represent approximately 45% of S&P 500 market capitalization versus roughly 15% in 2019. For ERISA fiduciaries and defined benefit plan sponsors, this is not a speculative concern to be monitored passively. It is a documented fiduciary documentation requirement. The question of how to justify passive exposure to this concentration is already a legal question, not just an investment one. Now to the rate environment, because that context shapes everything else we've discussed. The Federal Reserve under Chairman Warsh is executing what Rosenberg Research's David Rosenberg characterizes as potentially the most consequential Fed leadership transition since Volcker replaced Miller in 1979. Rosenberg's word frequency analysis of Warsh's inaugural FOMC statement is worth sitting with. 31 references to price stability or inflation versus 6 references to the labor market, a 5-to-1 ratio that is an explicit, documentable mandate prioritization shift. CME Fed Funds futures are pricing 1 to 2 rate hikes by December 2025, with a September or October hike fully priced on a deterministic basis. More importantly, call sheet prediction markets assign only approximately 60% probability to even one hike, creating a 40 percentage point gap between futures pricing and prediction market probability. That gap represents meaningful model risk for bank asset liability management assumptions. Rosenberg himself counters the consensus hawkish read. 5-year break-even inflation rates stand at 2.27%, at year-to-date lows, and he maintains high conviction that the next Fed move will be a cut. His historical reference is pointed. Dot plots projected 2 hikes in 2019, while the Fed delivered 3 cuts. The broader fintech pattern here is that higher for longer, regardless of how it resolves, is already doing structural work. It is compressing venture-backed fintech valuations while extending incumbent bank net interest margin advantages. And it is creating the acquisition window that 42 Macros Dale identifies as a 30-40% discount to 2025 peaks for BaaS platforms, payment infrastructure, and lending technology targets, specifically in the July through September 2026 correction window. There's a compounding international dynamic that fintech executives with cross-border operations cannot ignore. The Bank of Japan holds approximately $1.1 trillion in U.S. treasuries. A full yield curve control exit by the BOJ could trigger $500 billion to $1 trillion in capital repatriation, mechanically pressuring Western sovereign yields at precisely the moment central banks seek rate normalization. Japan's debt-to-GDP exceeds 260%, and Russell Napier's financial repression thesis identifies it as the leading indicator jurisdiction for legislative sovereign debt mandates. BOJ policy announcements should be treated as Tier 1 risk monitoring events for any institution with Japanese institutional counterparty exposure. Meanwhile, the ECB and Bank of England are both in final design phases for digital currencies, the digital euro and digital pound respectively, with full deployment timelines of 2027 to 2028. Tier 1 European banks are facing estimated integration costs of 30 to 80 million euros for CBDC infrastructure layers. These aren't future considerations. They are capital allocation decisions that need to appear in 2026 planning cycles. Fintech thesis update for June 24th. 3 things shifted in the industry outlook today. First, the stablecoin reserve mechanism is no longer a regulatory hypothesis. The Genius Act has created a live investment category, and the institutions that treat the next 12 to 24 months as a positioning window, rather than a compliance exercise, will capture the rail economics before consolidation closes the field. Second, the SpaceX passive concentration risk is now a fiduciary documentation issue for every pension and defined benefit sponsor with passive equity exposure. The price discovery breakdown in small-cap markets documented by Apollo's chief economist means this dynamic has no natural ceiling from fundamentals. Risk committees that haven't modeled S&P 500 inclusion scenarios are behind. Third, the Warsh Fed has structurally lengthened the runway for incumbent bank NIM advantage. The fintech valuation compression this creates is simultaneously a competitive threat for challengers and an acquisition opportunity for well-capitalized incumbents willing to move before the July through September window closes. The dollar reserve share decline, the stablecoin legislation it catalyzed, and the passive infrastructure stress building around AI-adjacent valuations are not 3 separate stories. They are 3 load-bearing walls of the same structural shift in how capital flows through the financial system. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.